Hello, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, God is on the Sun. And I'm in my back patio right now here in San Antonio. And it's just after 6 p.m. The sun is shining down into my patio. It's very bright, and it feels good. How have you all been this last week? Another week of a pandemic, which we've never seen the likes of before. And I've been doing some thinking as to how we're going to get out of this. You know, what's life going to be like in the future? Are we going to go back to what's normal? And business as usual? I don't think so. There's going to be some changes happening, I think. And I mentioned in my last show that there is always the theory that this is being brought on by some higher power. God, if you will, the creator, if you will, as a way to get us back on track. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about what we've been doing wrong as a civilization. And I've said this before on my show. One of my goals, one of my objectives is to not only make the world a better place, but to bring about, to help with my words and your words out there, all you great people doing wonderful things to help make the world a better place, and there are a lot of you out there, to have contact with the extraterrestrials that are out there. And right now, I'm sure they're looking at us and they know everything that's going on, everything that's happened. And one main reason, and it's a very difficult subject to talk about, and that is competition here on Earth. The competition that we have in our everyday lives is kind of getting the best of us, you know, and it's not healthy. And I'm sorry for kind of going down the negative road here, but I've got some good news in the end, some really excellent news that I think you'll like to hear. But I'm just trying to help to change the mindset, because I don't think we can go on, and I don't think we'll be allowed to go on the way we were before. So the sports that we have, to begin with, the sports, you know, it's a difficult thing to have to say, well, it probably wouldn't be a good idea to fill arenas and stadiums with people again, all screaming for one side or the other. You know, winning is great, losing is hell. Is that where we're going as a society, as a civilization? Is that what it's all about, either winning or losing? Isn't there something more beyond that? We pay our great sports stars. Naturally, they're very talented and born with that talent. It's a physical thing, right? And coordination thing, too. I'm not saying they're any better than you and I, because we're equal, really, in creator's sight. But as far as a job, a profession here on planet Earth, you know that sports stars make a lot of money. A lot more than I do. And I wonder if we should pay for competition. We have high school, college, you know, the players don't get paid. Is that the way ahead? I'm just wondering. You know, I'll put that out to you. I've got a lot of things to talk about in my show. And by the way, Mia DeAngelis is calling back in again today. She was on my show last week to talk about her near-death experience. And on my show, God is on the Sun. And by the way, I say that because the sun is a very sacred fire. It's not like the fire of a matchstick, ladies and gentlemen out there. And our spirits are made of light energy. And I think if you believe in angels and you believe that you have a spirit in your body, and that spirit is made of billions of electrons, and it's basically the same as your physical body. It's got all the characteristics. Have you ever seen the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze? May God rest his soul, bless his soul. I really like him. He's a great actor. And And that last scene when he's leaving, you know, they just killed the bad guy. He killed himself, actually. Not a good thing, but unfortunately it does happen, you know. And I think that's pretty accurate as far as some people nowadays, when they pass away, they're going to a place of darkness, you know, which is, I'm very sad, really, when they could be doing, people could be doing better things in this world besides murder and rape and burglary, robbery, sexual abuse, physical abuse. Non-believers in creation don't have a very good, the afterlife that's intended for them won't be of the kind for other people, where we would raise up from the confines of this planet into the air and go towards that light in the sky. So, my friends, it behooves us to say very carefully our words, use our words very carefully, think good thoughts, especially nowadays. And you know that. We are all co-creator gods in the making. If you can die, you're a god in the making. That's why you're here on Earth, is to develop spiritually. It's all a process of evolution. And that process continues after we transition from this life into the afterlife. And then enjoy the spirit lands for a while in heaven. We get to meet up with our deceased relatives. My mom and dad are there waiting for me. I'm in no hurry to get there, but if it should happen tomorrow, I think I'm more or less ready. And not to mention them, other deceased relatives and friends and people from all cultures throughout the centuries. Don't believe about religion, what religion says, that, you know, the only way to heaven is this way. Well, excuse me, didn't God, Jesus, hey, I said God, Jesus, back in his day said, when he taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. He was prayed a lot of people there, the Sermon on the Mount, our Father, those words. And there's a mother God, too. The only thing is, the Bible doesn't like to talk about it, because back in those days, women were suppressed. But guess what? Surprise. Women are coming out of their minority shell, if you will, and are becoming more equal to men, getting equal rights, equal pay. Thank God for that. But anyway, back to Patrick Swayze, the way he walks, the spirit, his spirit, shining with light. And you got the soul, which is like the brain of the spirit, and it's like a light bulb. That's why every good thing you do, all the knowledge you gain, the acts of kindness, it all will increase your light, the light of your soul. The object is to graduate from this earth with color, with honors, you know, flying colors, so to speak. And your soul will be all the brighter for it. Because when you get to heaven, you'll see that there are beings there that are different variations of brightness and light, to include the spirit mother and father, who seem to be made, almost made of light. And that is the most beautiful, glorious substance that you will ever behold, when you see a being that's actually made of light. I mean, that's a substance, it's like a material. I mean, when we get to heaven, we'll have robes on, I believe, you know, shining garments of white to show that we are spiritually developed and evolved. And we can also wear a crown like King David, who's there. He's the praise master of heaven. He will lead us all. He is like the ultimate praise master. I've read books of heaven, many books, from people that have gotten a glimpse into that beautiful world that awaits us. Hopefully, you know, we're all God's children. Some of us are led down the wrong path. Some have these bad accidents befall them, you know, and they find themselves in a situation where they didn't want to be, but there's nothing else to do but keep on going, and they keep expanding and multiplying their troubles and woes, and in the end, it's too late. If they repent before they die, then all that's good, I think. I believe that if we repent before we cross over to the other side, then it will be to our advantage. However, we have lost all that time here on Earth when we could have done the right thing. I think when a lot of people pass over nowadays, there's a lot of regret and remorse for not having done something they should have done. You know, been more friendly to people, buried the hatchet with their family members, you know, telling people that they love them. So important. But the spirit is like, as I was mentioning, Patrick Swayze, just think of him. He's got all the facial characteristics, the hair, everything. The body is transparent or translucent. It could have all the colors of the rainbow in it. It shines because the soul is the brain of the spirit. And that makes the spirit shine. That makes sense, right? Anyway, oh, there's so much to talk about, my friends, and I've got till 6:30 before Mia comes on, and we're going to talk about perceptions of God. And we're going to have a good time. Time really does fly. It seems to. So going back to competition, my friends, what is the future? You know, I think we should be living in a spirit of cooperation rather than a spirit of competition. The future I see is one where people can still play games but not get paid these millions of dollars for it, you know. I want to give a shout out to Bernie Sanders because he had a really good vision, even though some people don't believe in socialism. I think I talked with my son today, and what a good thing it is for a country, and we don't have one right now. A lot of countries in the world have universal health care where they're taking care of everybody in society. You know, the homeless don't have to worry about having some physical problem, you know, getting some aid at the hospital. It's all there for us to do. We can make that happen if we wanted to. But as far as Bernie Sanders is concerned, he was kind of shut down by the Democrats, I think. It's kind of strange how he's doing so well with the Iowa caucus and then in New Hampshire, and it looked like he was going to beat Joe Biden. And then it seemed like, he might be mistaken, you know, he's endorsed Joe Biden was endorsed by the other presidential candidates, and they might have gotten together and said, you know, we just can't have a socialist United States in America. That might be true. Maybe capitalism is better. Look where it's gotten us right now. I mean, our economy is going to take a serious hit. It's going to be brutal, as Mark Cuban said, you know, the owner of the Mavericks, to get back to where we were, our economy. I mean, Mr. Trump had it in a place where, supposedly, I mean, you read the figure, facts and figures, that it was the best economy the United States has ever had. You know, the stock market showed it. But now, look what's happened. The pandemic has turned that all around. It's because that competitiveness isn't the way ahead. Winning and losing. You know, I have more than you. I mean, what if I told you we could have a society where all of your needs were met, you were happy, I mean, you had a chance to go on a vacation wherever you wanted twice a year, you didn't have to pay for anything. I'm talking about a new monetary system, my friends. It's possible. We, as human beings on this planet here, it's a very beautiful, wonderful world. We can make the changes we need so that we can thrive in the future and our children's children can thrive. But if we continue on the path that we were on, one of bitter and mean competitiveness, that mean competitive spirit who was looking out for number one and no one else, then I think, and I'm entitled to my opinion, right, as you are also, that more of these will follow until we start making the right decisions, doing the right thing for ourselves. And you see it going on today with, what, over 60,000 people dead from the coronavirus in the United States and about 250,000 dead in the world. are those numbers real enough for you? They're real enough for me. And one thing I wanted to say, too, about Hollywood. Hollywood has a responsibility to give us movies, the movies that we watch, to fill our minds with whatever they're telling us, whatever they show us, you know. How many people want to go see the Expendables now and have them blow people away and blow things up and people getting shot and killed, stabbed, or another Terminator movie? All this fantasy violence going on, and Hollywood's responsible for it. I say, give us more real-life, true-story movies. Like what's going on now, people who survive something like this. I've seen people come on the television, and they've lost a loved one, lost a mother, lost a wife of 50 years. And they're so sad. Did this really have to happen? You can blame it on the Chinese. You can blame it on Mr. Trump. You can blame it on politics. The fact is, we as a civilization really haven't reached the second letter of the word civilization as far as being advanced. We are kind of like in kindergarten, first grade, as far as how we treat each other and knowing the right thing to do. We avoid the truth because we've been told we can't handle the truth. And yet, there is so much truth out there. Look at all the different religions in the world. Tell me what the truth is, please. You know, religion is a money-making business. Each one claims to profess the truth, but there can only be one truth. Back throughout the centuries, even then when Jesus was about to be crucified, Pilate said, well, what is truth? There is only one truth. And that's a whole different subject that I'm not going to go down to right now, but I will talk about it more on future shows. Tune in. Thank you for tuning into my show today. There is so much to talk about. And many thanks to BBS Radio for the opportunity to share my thoughts, my ideas with the world. Internet radio is a wonderful medium to reach out to people everywhere. So we need to make some serious changes. And by the way, E.T. is out there, and like I mentioned, they're waiting to see what we're going to do. Are we going to destroy ourselves? I mean, I ask you, with all the competition going on, and you can say that even that competition might be related to all the wars and killings we've had before in the past. Is that possible? Yes, you know, you might watch the World Series or the Super Bowl, whether that's a really good competition, right? You know that one team's going to win, one team's going to lose. Is that really the way ahead for the United States of America, the leader of the free world? Now, I'm sorry to suggest that these players making millions of dollars might not be able to make those millions in the future. I'm all for everybody making lots of money. You know, I believe in being blessed, you know, God blessing us. But there's so much else we can do. And like I said, we need a monetary system that is favorable to everyone, so that we know that people aren't suffering or dying in the world for lack of basic provisions, food, shelter, water, clean water. You see all the homeless on the streets. You see people who can't get the medical care they need. And people dying by the thousands. And here in the United States, we don't even have a universal health care system. Other countries around the world, we're like, they do, we don't. What's up with that, you know? We're supposed to be leaders in compassion and empathy, but we're not doing that. And we had an opportunity to vote somebody in who could have made a change, who could have had that revolution that we need. It's funny now that a pandemic has hit us, and now we realize we do need to make some changes, right? It's something we have to do. It won't be business as usual, my friends, I think. And like I said, that's my opinion. When we get back to normal, so to speak, when the deaths start declining, you know, is 250,000 deaths enough for anybody? I think so. You know, let's turn away from this fantasy violence that's out there. And I'm a kind of a hypocrite in that regard, because I've watched a lot of movies. And yes, they're entertaining, but, you know, all those great actors out there, they can find them other movies to act in. They can make some good money, you know. Give us more real life. Give us more true stories of people. Enough with this fantasy violence, you know. This what's going on today is just, I'm like focused on something else, you know. That stuff is in the past. We don't need to. We don't need to focus on that. There's so much, we have so much potential as human beings that the technology that we've produced in the last century or more is incredible, you know, nowadays. I mentioned on my last show all the computers, the cell phones, talking to anyone on the other side of the world, you know, fantastic stuff. And the medical technology, too, great stuff. You know, they're inventing some internal organs. I mean, what's the way to describe it? My son is a kidney transplant recipient. I donated one of my kidneys to him back in 1995 when I was in the Army. And he got a second kidney back in 2014. I donated one of mine to his 1995 at Stanford University. And so they're coming up with these artificial kidneys, and they're going to have artificial organs, hearts, you know. Right now, the technology is limited. They're doing stem cell research, you know, and I think they're going to be able to make a real kidney or a real liver or a real heart or real lungs sometime in the future. Isn't that amazing? But there's so much more that we can do. And they're developing a vaccine for the coronavirus, and that's wonderful. I thank them, all the doctors and scientists that are working out there, working long hours to try to get this vaccine out into the public, you know, so that we can be cured of this disease, you know, and also be ready for anything else that comes up in the future. So we can do it, right? We can make those changes to make the world a better place. We want peace. Is peace a possibility, a reality? Is that possible? What do you think? Most people say no, that we're doomed. I say no. As long as the sun is out there shining down on us, and we have a brand new day to start our lives with, every day is like a new beginning, and we can make those changes we need to in order to advance our world, advance our civilization, our society. We can do it. So let me give you some good news. And I don't want to be negative on my show. You know, I try to talk about the positive only, accentuate the positive. But the fact is, I need to talk about some things because we need to make some changes. And we're coming together now as a world like nothing, never before. As a civilization, we see this with the pandemic. Things are getting better, thank God. You know, we're getting back to normal. So concerned about people out there that don't have enough money. You know, they need to get back to work, start making their paychecks so that they have enough food on their table and not enough to pay their bills. So concerned about them. And God bless them, all of them out there that are hard hit by this pandemic. And the ones who are sick, too, that they would take good care of themselves and start eating right and exercising and going out, making sure you get enough sunlight and fresh air each day. Living in, it's like we're living in an oxygen-depleted society. But yes, I only want to talk about positive things. So here's the good news. Now, it's a song I'm going to play for you. And listen to the words of this song, because it is back in the 70s. It's a really cool song. I'm going to pull it up now on my computer. Come on. Slow as molasses. Okay, that was I Just Want to Celebrate by Rare Earth. I just want to celebrate another day of life. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't got time for sorrow. I don't have time for sorrow. I don't have time for hate. I'm using up my time by feeling fine every day. Now, if you're someone that gets involved with competition, you know, the sports, and I've been trying to be get away from sports for a long time. It's like an addiction for me. In my past, I can tell you all about it, but suffice it to say, when my team lost, I was bummed out for a long time, you know. But now I don't have time for sorrow. You know, this is like a world of sorrows that we live in. We need to change it around to a world of peace and happiness. And I ain't got time for hate either. And there's no time for hate. I'm using up my time by feeling fine. Or how about in the beginning, he says, put my faith in the people, but the people let me down. Same thing you can say with sports, competition in general. You put your faith in somebody and guess what? You can't always win. You'll lose sometimes. And it's not a pleasant feeling to lose. Yes, it's kind of nice to win, but is that what all there is in the future? You know, winning and losing? Or how about I had my hand on the dollar bill, but the dollar bill blew away. The sun is shining down on me and it's here to stay. It's like I was talking about the monetary system. We need to get away from a monetary system because I'm thinking this is what the Creator is trying to tell us, you know, this is way above my pay grade, you know, this pandemic. It was brought about by some power in control out there that could start the world shaking with earthquakes all over if it wanted to, you know. It could upheave continents. It's happened before in the past. It could whip up hurricanes, tornadoes. I mean, the power of nature is one thing, but the power above nature is looking down, watching us, seeing what we do, seeing how we treat each other, thinking of the way ahead, the future generations, our children's children. Is there really a future in competition? Because like I mentioned, I think war and killing are from that competitive spirit before in the past. And every now and then, you know, we get that competition for oil. That's another thing, too. We need to get away from fossil fuels. So a shout-out to Bernie Sanders. Let me go back to Bernie. I mean, God bless his soul. You know, he was trying to do the right thing for America. You know, universal health care, college-free tuition. Good man with good ideas. Labeled a socialist, you know. But the word socialism in and of itself can be interpreted in different ways, you know. Rather than just brand him a socialist, people really weren't listening to his message, I think. But now, so what time is it? 6:32. Is Mia out there? Mia, did you call in? She might have forgotten. I don't know.
No, Mia has not called yet.
Okay. Thanks, Doug. Well, let me get my book here. I write down things that I want to talk about on the show. There's so much to talk about. So what'd you think of that good news, ladies and gentlemen out there? I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Isn't that, I mean, that's the way I feel right now in this pandemic going on. I'm grateful. I'll say it right now. I'm grateful to be alive because some people that were with us a couple of months ago around this world, people just like you and me, are no longer with us. Where'd they go? Where are they? I'll tell you where they went. They went to the spirit lands. Heaven, if you will. Heaven. You know, I also want to give a shout out to a man, Dr. Stephen Greer, who I think is one of the most intelligent people in the world. Now, for all of you people that are wondering if these ETs really exist, you know, if UFOs are real, I ask you to watch this video that's out there on YouTube. Actually, there's three that if you want to be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're real and they're out there, then watch Gaswalkers, Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, and also unacknowledged. And there's a new movie coming out called, well, movie video, called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. This Dr. Greer is an awesome man with courage, a lot of courage to do this. And that's something that's lacking in our society, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to say, there's not very many brave people, it seems, what I've seen. Cowardice is like an epidemic out there, sort of epic proportions. We're supposed to be living in the land of the brave. I'm sorry to, you know, kind of say something negative there, because, you know, I love you, but some people, the reason they can't handle the truth as far as ETs are concerned, because they're frightened. And for one thing, sorry, but late, beyond. Okay, that was from Mia. She's a little bit late. She'll be calling in shortly. So, one thing that these ETs could do, my friends, is teach us how to cure diseases, not only a pandemic, but also cancer. You know, if we made contact with them, but they know we're a very hostile species, you know? Our past shows that we are very hostile. Think of all the wars we had in the last century. Millions and millions and millions and millions of people were killed in war and fighting, killing. World War II, my father was in World War II. He was with the British Army. And he was at Normandy and Dunkirk. He had a man die in his arms. He killed a German. He told me about it. My mother went through the bombing of London, you know, with the rockets that the Germans used to send. Do you know that the Germans were very, very, very close to developing an atom bomb? And if they had got that power in their hands and used it, like we did on Japan, the world would be a different place altogether, my friends, at this time. But fortunately, there are powers looking after us, suffice it to say. Imagine though, if a bomb had been dropped on London with the impact with the same force as the ones that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That would have taken the British out of World War II, for sure. They would have given up. And then, you know, the Germans are very resourceful. They'd fitted one of their long-range bombers with fuel tanks, they could have reached New York, you know, just as an example. Not a pleasant thought, but I'm just saying, you know. Okay, time to change the subject here. So I want to, if I may, did that shock you what I said? That's true that the Germans were very, very close to developing the atomic bomb. But anyway, so I'd like to say, give a shout out to one of my favorite musical groups out there. And their music is very, very spiritual. I've known them since in the early 2000s, 2005, 2006 was when I was turned on to them. They're called 2002. It's husband and wife. They play their own instruments. It's very spiritual music. Listen to them. They've got lots of videos on YouTube. And 2002, beautiful, beautiful spiritual music. Also Gandalf. Now, I'm not talking about the Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. Type in Sacred River. It's just beautiful music. And as far as some movies to watch, besides those videos I asked you to watch on that will convince you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I guarantee it. You'll be convinced that the extraterrestrials are out there. They want us to join the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. You might laugh, but it's true. It does exist. If you laugh, then you're one of the reasons why they haven't made contact with us, because you don't think outside the box. I mean, you'll watch Star Trek. Some people watch Star Trek. Star Wars, I don't like wars. I've committed myself to not watching any more Star Wars movies because I don't like the war in the word, in the name of that film, you know? Pete, we want peace in outer space. Space is no place for intergalactic war. No, 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 no. So, a movie, I watched Jesus Christ Superstar on pay-per-view the other, well, actually it was free. Didn't pay anything for it, but it was done back in 2018. The original one was done in 1973. I don't know if any of you watched it. It's a really, really interesting musical. You know, it's like a musical film. And the words are beautiful.
Mia is with us.
Hi. Okay, thanks, Doug. Hi, Mia.
Hi, Blake. I apologize for being late.
That's okay. It's all right. Well, how have you been since last Tuesday?
I've been good. Well, you know, I say that because that's an automatic response. But the truth is, I've been battling depression a little bit. It's been rough being away from people.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, the people, I mean, the ones that are listening out there in internet radio land can relate to that. You know, they miss people. I miss people. Although, I'll tell you the truth also, I enjoy teleworking from my backyard. You know, I don't miss the commute to work. I mean, at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's like a gauntlet out there, you know. And you see accidents all the time on the side of the road. And people, they always reminding us by flashing on the board above the highway, you know, how many people have died so far in the state of Texas this year. It always seems to be about 3,500 each year. I mean, isn't that uncanny how it doesn't change every year? It's about that same number. And across the United States, you know, of course, it's a lot higher. I think I did a little research recently, and if I'm not mistaken, the total across the United States every year is like a few hundred thousand people who die in car accidents, you know? And
it's a lot. Why do we need to know that?
Yeah, I know. That's another change we need to make as a society. You know, first of all, we need to get away from fossil fuels. And I'm a bit of a hypocrite there because I drive a gasoline engine car. It's a four-cylinder, though. I'm kind of proud of that. You know, I'm not using as much as a six-cylinder or an eight-cylinder, but I need to get an electric car or a solar-powered car or a hydrogen-powered car. And
I feel like coronavirus is going to change a lot of this. I think a lot of companies are going to realize that they can actually save quite a bit of overhead by having employees work from home. It's what I'm hoping anyway. And then a lot of people will work from home, and we're going to have a lot less toxins in the environment.
That's true. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Good idea. Good thought there. Yeah, we do need to make some changes. I was talking about that earlier. I don't know if you were listening. Maybe.
I wasn't.
No. Yeah, I was talking about the changes we need to make. One thing was our competitiveness, you know. Is there a future in winning and losing? It's in all aspects of our life, in the sports people watch on television, in our politics. Even war and killing can be attributed to that competitive spirit that we've had over the centuries, you know. And isn't there something more, maybe a spirit of cooperation? I'm not saying that these professional athletes can't continue playing with each other, but should we be paying for that? You know, I mean, I enjoyed watching high school and college football before, high school or college sports, period. But the millions of dollars that we're paying professional athletes, is that what we really want to do?
Well, I mean, I hear this argument all the time, and here's my thought process on that. The thing is, these professional athletes, they work really hard to be as good as they are, to entertain crowds with their prowess. And if they get injured, they're out of work. Like, what are they going to do? This is what they know. So, you know, I kind of understand. It's just like a movie star. You know, movie stars go out there and they take classes and they work hard to entertain the people. and we pay to be entertained, which in turn pays their salary. So why do we get so up in roar about athletes and we don't feel that way about movie stars? You're still equally entertained.
Yeah, and I was talking about that too, in regard to movie stars, that is. Hollywood, I think, has a greater responsibility to our society to provide us movies that we fill our minds with that aren't of fantasy violence, the fantasy violence type. Give us more real life, true stories, you know, because there's no future in fantasy violence. If you're seeing people getting killed by the hundreds. Well, what was that movie I watched the other day? Not to mention John Wick 3. You know, all the John Wick movies where he killed like 100 plus people in each movie. You know, those are people real. I mean, of course, it's just a movie, but if it happened in real life, you know, people would really turn their heads and start to notice.
Well, but I think that kind of violence does happen in real life.
Well, but then, you know, it's kind of like, is it possible that Hollywood is fueling, is providing that impetus, if you will, of making people think, well, since they do it on the movies, then, you know, it's okay if I do it in real life.
No, and I think each individual is responsible for themselves. And you can't hold somebody else accountable for your actions. You're the only person that's accountable for your actions. And,
well, like,
you know, my opinion
game
on that is,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, I mean, if you don't like watching movies with violence, don't watch movies with violence. But I personally happen to enjoy a good action flick or a horror movie. That stuff doesn't bother me, and it doesn't make me want to go out and kill somebody either. It doesn't make me have violent thoughts. That's my mind, my individual mind. And I think we're in control of our own thoughts.
Well, yeah, and you're an adult, but to take somebody, a young child, very impressionable, you know. And when you consider the video games, the, you know, that are out there, they're really violent video games. I'm just saying that, you know, someone who has a family and wants some true entertainment. I mean, you're right that you don't have to watch those movies if you don't want to, but the fact that they're out there, you know, I mean, it seems like they're playing us for fools. I mean, you know, they use the same actors, like with the Expendables and maybe the Terminator movies, you know. Arnold Schwarzenegger is making millions of dollars, blowing people away, killing people. And there are other acting roles that they could have, you know, in more real-life movies. The point I'm making is that, so we got a pandemic going on here, and, you know, that's real. That's real life. And we need to kind of switch from a society that's taking in a lot of fantasy to what's real. If we're going to evolve as a society, as a species, and get to the point where, hey, we can make contact with the extraterrestrials that we know are out there, because if you look at all the life here on Earth, thousands, even millions of different varieties of life, bodies that were made by some power, for lack of a better way of describing it, then, or even if you say it wasn't a creator that created all this life, and it could happen, and it happened here by accident, it could happen by accident elsewhere, and all of a sudden then the universe is teeming with life, because you say, well, if it happened by accident here, it can happen by accident elsewhere, so then the universe must be full of all kinds of life. And
yeah.
I'm just saying the
Do you watch that show, Ancient Aliens?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Have you seen that show? Like, they believe that aliens created humans.
Well, some do. I've heard that too. And you know who was telling me about that they watch Ancient Aliens all the time? Des. She said she and her husband watch Ancient Aliens all the time. I said, hey, I do too. And
yeah, I was obsessed with it for a little while, but I had to stop watching it because it started messing with my thoughts on God and my connection with God. It got into my head a little bit, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm going to start to believe that, because if aliens created humans, then why do I need to pray? Why do I need to connect to God?
I don't believe
that. If God is an alien.
I don't.
Huh?
You know, we're all entitled to our opinion. I don't believe that, personally.
No, I don't either.
My Bible.
Neither.
My Bible, my favorite book, in other words, I love the Bible. I love the wisdom in it. Some things I don't believe in, but one book that I just have read several times is called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. And it's by a man. His name is Michael Desmarquette. He was living in Australia in the late 1980s, and he claims he was taken to a planet in our Milky Way galaxy by a race of extraterrestrials, and they're hermaphrodite, which means they're male and female, about 9 feet tall. And apparently they are one of the three most advanced technologically and spiritually in our universe. And they've been monitoring Earth for thousands of years. And they are absolutely incredibly intelligent, you know. And in that book, he talks about a lot of the things that they told him, you know, all that's going on with the world these days. And we need to be careful as we go forward into the future, because we have the capability to destroy ourselves right now. You know, we have thousands of nuclear weapons, and we have to really be careful what we say, what we think. But what I was trying to say was, according to him, in that book, he talks about the first human beings that came to Earth was about 1,500,000 years ago. And they came from a planet in our Milky Way galaxy called Bacchaterini. They were a yellow race and a black race. They had lived on that planet for many, many years, had been involved in a nuclear holocaust, and then rebuilt and learned then after that to live with each other and love each other, you know, live in harmony. And their planet had begun to cool down because their sun was burning out. So they made a trip to try to find a new home, and they came to Earth. And so the black race settled in what is now known as Australia, and the yellow race settled in what is now Burma and China. And then later on, there was a white race that came and settled in what used to be Atlantis. I know you've heard of Atlantis in the mm-hmm. Atlantic Ocean. And then there were these cataclysms that happened approximately 15,000 years ago, which supposedly happened every once in a while, because apparently, you know, in a neighboring solar system, there is a planet that gets very close to Earth, in close proximity to Earth, and its gravitational field upsets our rotation on our axis. And then when that happens, then all hell breaks loose, earthquakes everywhere, volcanoes exploding, filling the skies with ash, blocking out the sun, causing storms with winds in excess of 500 miles an hour speeds. 300 miles an hour speeds. And so the whole shape of the Earth, the whole surface of the Earth reshapes itself. Continents rise up, others submerge when this happens. And that might be in our future, you know. They say that it is, that it was supposed to have happened already, and this might be a precursor, or what's the right way of describing it? You know, this pandemic might be just the tip of the iceberg of what we are to expect to come.
So you're kind of talking about, like, revelation.
Yeah, kind of. You know, like the second coming of Christ, too. Although I asked the chaplain at my work if he believed that this was all a part of the second coming of Christ. And he said no, and that biblical scholars say no. But I'm not convinced. I think it's possible. But it appears that we're coming out of it, you know. I mean, there's been a decline in the deaths. Some countries have got a pretty good hold, you know, a grasp of controlling it, in other words. I don't think anyone's come up with the vaccine yet. That's
still I don't think that this is a dog thing.
No.
I don't.
I agree.
I think too many people want to look at something to blame, and they start pointing the finger at God when bad things happen. And I think my perception of God is free will. I truly believe, I mean, you heard my near-death story. The angel kept saying, you're choosing wrong. It was my choice. I believe that God has offered free will and wholeheartedly offered free will and puts it out there to the point that we're almost left to our own devices until we get on our knees and come before God and say, help me, guide me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, right. It's like reaching rock bottom, kind of. And that's, it seems like in order to make real contact with the Creator, you just have to get through some stuff first, you know? And I've said some prayers before that are just like routine, where I don't feel like I'm making contact. Other prayers, though, I feel like I'm actually having a conversation with God. And I can
see that's where it's at, is the conversation.
Say that again, please.
That's where it's at, is the conversation with God. And that's what people have to understand. You have all these different religions and all these different ideas and concepts of God. And the thing is, it's all just one God. Different people just view God differently. They view God according to their own perception. And they communicate with God according to their own level of communication.
Right. And I think, especially at this time, people need to be praying more. You know, we all need to be praying. Yet, you watch the news, television nowadays, unless you tune into TBN, you know, Channel 22, and maybe a Catholic channel, there's hardly any talk of God at all. You think some people find it very difficult to say, God bless you, you know? That's another thing, too, I wanted to say, that in your prayers, I've read a lot of prayers by the military chaplains. And, okay, thanks, Doug. So we got 1 minute. I was just saying, when you
that
pray,
went fast.
Say please. Yeah, I know. Say please in your prayers, you know. Don't make demands of God. That's all I wanted to say. Incorporate a little please. It's like you're handing something across the dinner table. You don't say, give me the mashed potatoes, you know, give me the corn. Could you please hand, you know, same thing with God. Say please in your prayers more. Did
For
you want
me,
to say anything?
I've learned to change my prayer to, God, if you think this is good for me, then allow it. Otherwise, help me to learn and grow from it.
Okay, and on that note, we'll close, Mia. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, thank
you. God bless you. May God bless you, everyone else. I love you. And forgive me if I offended anybody. You know, I'm just brainstorming, trying to find new ways of doing things. So take care. Talk to you next week. Thanks, Mia. Bye-bye.